Welcome back to the Equipped to Lead podcast. I'm Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. So glad to have you with us today. I want to talk about something that all of us deal with in our lives. It is this, especially as believers, protecting the sacred. Without question, we all realize that there really are two paths. And one path leads to destruction, one path leads to fulfillment and to eternity. There are two paths that we face in our lives, but those paths, sowing to the flesh or sowing to the spirit. And the Apostle Paul made it so clear, didn't he? When he said, don't be deceived on this particular point. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. If we sow to the spirit, we reap what God wants. If we sow to the flesh, we do not reap what God wants, but rather enter into a life that is encumbered and hurt and brought down by carnality. So life really does come down to how we make decisions. So this concept of protecting the sacred, that is very, very dear to me. Jesus told us in Matthew 28, go into all the world and make disciples. We are called to lead others into an incarnational experience, helping them not only receive Christ, but to allow Christ to become fully at home within their lives, helping them know how to find God in the middle of often a mess in our own lives. I want to talk about that today. So many people live their lives and yet never learn to make decisions that align them with God's purposes for their lives. How do you do that? How do you mentor somebody else? How do you parent somebody else? How do you pastor somebody else? How do you come into another person's lives? And let's be honest, how do we make decisions? How do we align with God's purposes? I can tell you, if we can understand how to make decisions, we can understand then how to align our life with the presence and emphasis of the Spirit. Tim Hansel has shared in his book titled Holy Sweat about a friend of his that had a 40-year high school reunion. It had been four decades since this guy had connected with other classmates from his high school graduation. And he shared with Tim, he said, my wife and I are so excited. We are going back to our 40th high school reunion. And very excited, Tim said, listen, let me take you to the airport and I'll pick you up. And when I pick you up after your trip, you can tell me all about it. And so Tim dropped his buddy off and his buddy's wife, and he was there on Sunday evening following the reunion and picked them up. And when he connected with him at the airport after they got off the plane, Tim looked over at his friend. He said, tell me about it. How was the reunion? And his friend looked at him and said, man, it was one of the saddest experiences of my life. Tim said, good grief, man. Tell me what happened. And this is what his friend said. It wasn't what happened, but what didn't happen. It's been 40 years, 40 years, and they haven't changed. They had simply gained weight, changed clothes, gotten jobs, but they hadn't really changed. And what I experienced, Tim, was maybe one of the most tragic things that I could ever imagine about life for reasons that I cannot fully understand. It seems as though some people choose not to change. There was a long silence as Tim was walking to the car with his friend and his friend's wife. And on the drive home, Tim's friend said, looked over at him, been a lot of silence in the car. And he looked at Tim and he said, Tim, I never want that to be said of me, that I didn't change. Tim, life is too precious, too sacred, too important. If you ever see me go stagnant like that, I hope that you give me a quick, swift kick where I need it for Christ's sake. And I hope that you'll love me enough to challenge me to keep growing. One of the most helpful questions to answer about life for ourselves and for others is this: how do people change? Why do people do what they do? Can I share with you just very specifically that there are four elements that determines the pathway that a person takes as they experience life, no matter what it is, good or bad? Some things are so deeply negative. What happens when we experience, see and hear something, experience something? What brings us to the point of behavior when that happens? We're offered a new job. We have the opportunity to go back to school. We're considering really investing into our marriage in a much different way. We're considering changing jobs so that we can spend more time with our family. We're considering a church to attend. We're responding to the death of someone. There is a death in our own family somewhere. There is a sickness. What do we do when we see and experience life, and how do we come out of that? I want to share with you that there are four elements that determine a person's pathway to action, and that I'd like us to see those in the Scripture. These are the four elements. The first is we see and experience life, good or bad. The second element is this: immediately when we see and hear, experience life, we tell ourselves a story about what that means. And then emotions surround themselves related to the story that we have told ourselves. And the fourth is our behavior comes out of those emotions that we feel. So here they are simply. Number one is we experience life. Number two is we tell ourselves a story about that. Number three is we have all kinds of emotions surrounding that. And number four is our behavior comes out of that. There is a fancy word called epistemology, and it's a word that simply means how people turn opinions into convictions. In other words, epistemology is how people move from an experience to behavior. So on the bookends of experience and behavior, experience and a choice that we make, experience and a direction, sometimes a new direction for our lives, what's in the middle of that? Two things: the story that we tell ourselves after the experience, and the emotions that we feel, that moves into the behaviors, the decisions, the direction that we take. Let me show you that in Scripture. Matthew 16 is a great example of how Jesus helped Peter when Peter was told for the first time. Matthew 16 is a record of the first time. It's about 2 years since Jesus and Peter have been connected relationally. And in Matthew 16, Jesus shares for the first time that he is going to the cross. He is going to die a horrific death, to be mistreated deeply. And there are four things that happen that align Peter's behavior. This is what they were. Peter hears Jesus saying that he is going to die. Number two is Peter tells himself a story about what that means. And what that means to Peter is that his life is going to be diminished, and Jesus' life is going to be diminished because of what Jesus is emphasizing. Number one, Peter hears Jesus saying he's going to die. Number two, Peter tells himself a story about what that means. Three, Peter feels that is hugely wrong, and the emotions surround that. Self-preservation and fear were very likely the dominant feelings that Peter was experiencing. And then lastly, Peter takes Jesus to the side and rebukes him. Do you see the four things? Peter has an experience of what Jesus is saying. Secondarily, Peter tells himself what that means. Thirdly, Peter's emotions surround the story that he has told himself. And fourthly, Peter's behavior, his action, rebukes Jesus. However, instead of staying at odds with Jesus, Jesus helps Peter change the story that he has told himself. So I want you to catch this point. This is the key to change. When we can allow God to reframe the story. Follow me here. Out of the four stages to behavior, the most essential stage is the story that we tell ourselves about what we have seen and heard. How did it work with Jesus helping Peter come out of that instead of aligning himself in the wrong direction, align himself in the right direction of continuing to serve the kingdom? Really was a choice, wasn't it? Peter was going to serve his own kingdom, or he was going to serve Jesus's kingdom. So what happened? Peter hears what Jesus is going to do. He's going to die a horrific death. Peter tells himself a story about what that means, but Jesus understood the story that he had told himself and the emotions that he had around that and the decision that he was making. What did Jesus do? Jesus went back and helped him reframe the story. Reframing the story of our lives, of what we are experiencing in the moment, and gaining God's perspective of that. And that is exactly what Peter did. Peter allowed the story to be reframed. What did Jesus do? He came to him and said, strong language, "Get behind me, Satan." And then he tells him the value that's controlling him. He said, "You have not set your mind on the things of God, but the things of man." What is Jesus doing? He is reframing the story. "Peter, you have heard me say this, and you have told yourself a story about what that means, and I am telling you that that is wrong. You have to trust me, son." Get behind me, Satan, means change the way that you are framing this story in your head. And what is remarkable and so commendable is that Peter reframes the story. Why? Because he understands the viability of what Jesus is talking about? I don't think so. He didn't understand the cross, even though Jesus had just explained it. He didn't understand how this is going to work out. What did he do to reframe the story? He accepted God's voice and God's values, even without understanding the viability of how that works out. Hey, that's called the life of faith, isn't it? Embrace these values. And I am telling you, God speaks to us, that I will be in control of the destiny of your life. You don't have to figure it out. You just have to know what to value in the moment. Let me give you another context of understanding how reframing the story from God's perspective makes all the difference in the world. Think about Joseph and in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 50, you remember when Joseph has been elevated to a high-level position in Egypt, and he is now standing before his brothers, and his brothers have tried to so deeply hurt him. And he tells his brothers this. He says, "What you did for evil, God has brought about for good." Genesis 50, verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me," Joseph told his brothers, "but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to keep many people alive." Do you catch the four elements in Joseph's life? Number one is Joseph had experienced the hatred of his own brothers. Number two is clearly there is a story about that, and Joseph understands the story. These guys meant to do me evil. But Joseph, in his years, had allowed God to reframe the story. And by the time he stands before his brothers, he tells them, "You meant this for evil." I'm not changing the reality of the story. Joseph knew that he could not do that. Rather, he allowed God to reframe it, to the point when he says, "God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to keep many people alive." Joseph learned that he went through what he went through so that God could prepare him to serve the very brothers that sought to undermine him. Have you ever heard somebody say this? That person makes me so mad. Isn't the reality something a little more than that, though? They have experienced what they've experienced from that person, but in reality, they have made themselves mad. Why? Because of the story that they told themselves about what was done to them. Joseph extricated himself from a life of anger, a life of revenge. No passive-aggressive behavior, no overt-aggressive behavior. Joseph finds himself weeping and longing for restoration with his brothers. Why in the world could he do that? Because he allowed God to reframe the story. He didn't deny the reality of what had happened to him. Rather, he grasped God's perspective of what he wanted to do, even in the context of evil being projected upon Joseph. Four elements that cause us to decide. Number one is what we see and experience. Number two is the story that we tell ourselves. Number three is our emotions. Number four is our behavior. What does God by His Spirit do with us to bring about godly destiny in our lives? Protect us from evil? No, there are times that we're hurt by people and circumstance without question. No, we're not protected from evil. God gives us His perspective in the middle of it. And by reframing the story, everything changes. I want to encourage you to allow God to reveal to you, even in the mess of everything that's happening, what He is doing. And I want to encourage you to take Peter's stand, value the present emphasis of the Spirit, even when there's lots of negative things being projected upon you. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. I want to encourage you to head over to paul2timothy.com. You'll find other resources, some free resources. We want to equip you. If you're a ministry leader, a pastor, you're going to find some great resources on building a healthy leadership team in your church. That's paul2timothy.com. We want to invest into your ministry. So good to be with you today. Hey, hold on to the message of today. Protect the sacred by the decisions that you make.